When the days drew near for Jesus to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers ahead of him. On their way, they entered a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. But they did not receive him, because his face was set toward Jerusalem. When his disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them. Then they went on to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to these at my home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." The Gospel of the Lord. Dear siblings in Christ, grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Bob. How many of you have never moved? Never changed houses? Yeah, that's what I thought. So, you've moved once or twice? More than three times? More than five times? Yeah. Some of us get around. I have lost track of how many times we've moved. But I know it's always an adventure. Chris, I'm looking at you. Chris Neal, I just bought a house. They're going to be moving twice. Moving is part of the kind of American landscape, almost part of our fabric. So if you've been in the same house for 20 or 30 or 40 years, you're almost an exception. Moving is something that I dislike more than just about anything I can imagine, because you have to look at all the stuff you've accumulated, and you have to say, what's worth taking with me? And for us, you know, it was always kind of a keep, throw, give thing. We got pretty good at making piles. Okay, this we absolutely have to keep. This is too good to throw away. We'll give it. And this stuff we can just take out to the dumpster. And the last time we moved, we filled a lot of dumpsters because we'd been in our house for 10 years. Where am I going with this? The disciples who were called upon to follow Jesus had excuses. "Lord, I do want to follow you, but let me deal with this first. Let me deal with that first." And how often do we procrastinate things that we ought to be doing for Jesus because something else gets in the way? I know my own personal style. If I'm procrastinating, if I really want to not do something that I have to do, I will cook. And if I really need to procrastinate, I will even clean. So if you come over to my house, and my house is really clean, there's probably something important that needed to get done that I did not get done. Because I was putting it off. Because I'm a perfectionist. If I can't do it right, I don't want to do it. The disciples had these things that they needed to do before they could follow Jesus. And what Jesus is telling them is let go of the baggage. We have pressing work to do. His face was set toward Jerusalem, which meant he was coming close to his trial and crucifixion. His time was short. I can't follow you today, Jesus. I need to do this, need to do that. Now, of course, if you need to bury your parents, Jesus isn't going to stop you from doing that. But what he was saying in the day, in that context, was this work is important. This work has an immediacy to it. So how do we take on that same immediacy? That same sense that God's work can't wait. I want everyone to know the love of God. You do too, right? There is an immediacy to that message. And sometimes we forget that. I was just reading in the history of our synod. It was the 100-year anniversary book. And it told the story of Pastor Hasselquist, the first pastor here. In 1852, he came to preach his first sermon. But he didn't know First Lutheran Church would be First Lutheran Church. So they put him in a room that wasn't quite built yet. It didn't have a ceiling. It didn't have electricity. It had a few candles. And the people were crabby. They didn't much trust institutions. The church had sent him here. And he wasn't sure how they were going to respond. Because there was nothing here yet. So he gathered a handful of people in that candlelit room, and he started preaching. And in his sermon, he said, "Let me never boast of anything but Christ and Him crucified." That's how this church started. In a candlelit room full of crabby Swedes. Pastor Hasselquist never could have guessed that this church could twice outgrow its buildings. He never could have guessed the sheer number of people that our food pantries have served over the years, or the type of music that we'd be making here today. But his message was clear, as it was of Jesus. Let me never boast of anything but Christ and Him crucified. It's an odd message to the world. Paul calls it foolishness. But you know what? We've tried worldly wisdom. We've tried all the powerful ways of the world. What if love is the answer? I believe it is. People of God, we have the roadmap this morning in our Galatians text, the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Those are the fruits of the Spirit. And we know when these are the things that are bubbling up and blooming in our lives, we're not far from the Spirit. The fruits are abundant at First Lutheran. But we also know that we have a kind of shadow side, and sometimes those fruits aren't what's growing first and foremost. Paul calls those works of the flesh. Fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife. You know, we don't think about those a lot. But think about these last ones here. Jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissension, factions, envy. Those are the opposites of the fruits of the Spirit. But they certainly are the ways of the world. And the world justifies these things. The world says, of course it's okay to be jealous and angry and quarrelsome and divisive. Don't listen to the world. We are peacemakers. We love as Jesus loves. And we are set free by the gospel of Christ. Set free by Christ and Him crucified. The one who has entered into all of our suffering. That we might set others free from theirs. Going back to the beginning, what things do you need to let go of to follow Jesus? Is it an old grudge? Is it physical stuff? Is it busyness? You know yourself better than anyone does. If Jesus called you and specifically said, this is something I need you to do today, would you be able to? Open up your hearts and ask. Ask to be available to do the next thing God has in mind for you. And look out. God might just take you up on it. Hang on for the adventure, because you are blessed and you are beloved. Amen.